turn our hearts over to the Lord. You know, one thing to keep in mind is, and also one thing for us to kind of just search ourselves and ask, you know, how many of us know that God is for us? And when we read that in the Bible, is a present, it's a present tense. It's saying that he is for us. It's not that he was for us or that he will be for us, which he has, but God is for us right now in this moment, in any situation that we're in. So in Romans 8:31, it tells us, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything? God gave up his son for us to have a relationship with him and to be able to speak with him and to share our hearts with him. And if he is for us, you know, what can be against us? Sometimes we hear that and we think, well, wow, you know, there's so much in life that's going on, you know, so many bad things that happen and situations that come up that we wonder, you know, maybe why we're going through these things. The Bible also tells us that here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And that's Jesus. You know, he's telling us, he knows that there's things that come up in our lives. He knows that there are situations that are going to arise that may be kind of challenging for our faith, that may be, you know, we may struggle through, but we can take heart, and we can also say we can take joy in knowing that Jesus has overcome the world. So with that, just know, as we enter into worship, whatever situation you're going through, you're not by yourself. God is with you in this. And we can, you know, take joy in whatever situation it is, that in knowing that Jesus has overcome it all. So as we enter into worship, you know, put those stresses aside. I know sometimes it's easier said than done, and a lot of times it is. But, you know, just know that God's word is true. You know, he does say that there will be trials, there will be sorrows. We're not promised a perfect life just because we give our life to Jesus. So just know that he is with us, and he is for us, and nothing else can be against us because he has overcome everything. So let's just stand and get ready to worship our Lord and to give our hearts to him and to give him praise this morning. So Heavenly Father, I just lift each and every one of us up, God, and our hearts to you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that any distractions that may be going on, any struggles in our lives, any challenges, any sorrows, God, I pray that those will be cast at your feet, Jesus, and we can completely give our hearts to you in this worship. And Lord, we're just so thankful and so grateful that you have overcame everything, and God, that you are for us. So we thank you, and we worship you, and we pray this in Jesus' name.
I've tasted and seen are the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Overcome.
There's nothing worth more.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, oh. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, we cry. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Your goodness, Lord. Your goodness, Lord. Your goodness, Lord.
So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence. Presence our top priority here in this place. Your presence our top priority. Oh, you're the reason that we've gathered.
Sing your song to him.
You're the reason that we've gathered. Even brokenness, I feel change.
has paid again.
He has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him.
One true.
proclaim this one true. Let all lives proclaim this one true. Oh, we love you, 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 we love you. He has paid the highest price. Has proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives. Proclaim our love for him. Let our lives proclaim this one. Let our lives proclaim this one true. Let our lives proclaim this one true. Though we love you, you love me, you love me. Though you love me, we love you, we love you, like only your Father can do. Than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. Can't contain that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Put a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Cry, holy, holy, holy. cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
Is the cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the
You are the Lord most holy, most wonderful. You are the Lamb of God. You are the Lord most holy, most wonderful. You are the cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. 'Cause we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Goodness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We fall down. Oh, we fall down. We our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We
Well, this song is more than a song. It's describing a scene that isn't supposed to just take place here in the natural. It's supposed to be supernaturally done in our hearts. And I don't know if you're like me, but a lot of times I just sing songs because I know the words and I know the song and I can just, you know, get through it. But this is describing a powerful scene that we fall down. And that doesn't mean you have to do it physically, even though sometimes it takes that to literally fall down on our knees, fall down on our face. And we lay our crowns. Our crowns represent all that we are in Him. These crowns are not anything that we've earned. These crowns are not anything that we've achieved in ourselves. It's only through the grace of God that we even have crowns. So we lay our crowns, we lay our lives, we lay everything that we've achieved up to this point, and I lay down even what I'm going to achieve in the future through Christ at the feet of Jesus. And then we're going to cry, holy, holy. So I want us to move beyond just singing these words, and I want us to, in our hearts, see us sitting, standing, however you have to picture yourself, at the feet of Jesus, the one who redeemed you, the one who purchased you, the one who gave you life and life abundantly. Just lay everything at His feet because of His mercy and love. I was talking with someone before church, and you know what? The only reason that we can love God and love others is because we realize that He loves us. That is the bottom line, that we are loved. Unconditionally, without any hesitation, we are loved. Does not matter what condition we're in, we are loved. Does not matter what we've done, we are loved. And if we can receive that love, then we can walk in a new fullness. We can walk the empowerment of that love out, and that's living a life for Him. Lay our lives before You, God. Place them into Your capable hands. We choose to do that this morning. We lay our lives into your hands, Lord. Everything that we've achieved, even our failures, God, we lay them in your hands. We set our crown at your feet, God. Say, restore us, Lord. Is being released right now into hearts. Thank you, Lord, that your peace is being released right now into lives, God. I thank you, God, that your delivering power right now is being released, God, into hearts and lives right now, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that eyes are being opened spiritually right now, Lord, to see you and to see your love, to see who you are. Thank you, Lord, that grace is being received right now. Grace, supernatural empowerment, God, to live for you is being received right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the angelic hosts that are here right now doing your work, God, in our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving deep inside of us here today, bringing us to a place of who you want us and called us to be. Your fullness right now in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, team. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is anybody else feeling the presence of God really strong? makes it kind of hard to move on here. Thank you, Lord. Lord, is there anything else that you need to do here? We're open. We're open, God, for what you want to do, how you want to move. You know, sometimes we're used to just moving on with things, just get through whatever we're doing, get it done, and that's not always God's way. Sometimes he works a long, deep work. Sometimes it just takes time in his presence. Thank you, Lord. I just feel that the Lord's ministering to someone's heart right now. And we're just going to give him a moment to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Tangled up here. Praise the Lord. I don't know if that's just because I was playing up there. Maybe that's not such a good idea. It's like, is that where the glory always is? Is it just me, or I mean, it's everywhere? Okay, good. I'm just like going, okay, like, whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, next weekend. This coming Friday is next weekend, right? This coming Friday and Saturday, and we have an official cost. It's $25 for One Life Couples Weekend. And we're going to be starting at 7 p.m., and we're going to have dessert, right? And then we'll have breakfast the next day, and the breakfast will be like continental-style breakfast. And so what time do we start? We start 9 the next day. Okay. None of that's on here, so that's what I would have said. But then later on, that's not right. So I'm going to go ahead and send this around one more time. Now, this is, again, for couples. And so I just want to encourage all couples who are able to make it, sign up and join us for an awesome weekend. Yes. It will end when we're done. No. I think it's at 3. Yeah. I was going to say 2:30, so 3 is pretty close. Yeah. Sometime around there. We give you an opportunity to go out to lunch to have a date together. So isn't that nice? If you guys don't have date nights, it will be your opportunity to have a date afternoon. So praise the Lord. It's really a good time. We really are kind of moving by the Spirit when we do it. I have a few topics that we want to cover, but then just how the Lord leads the sessions is how they go. And last time we had someone say that they had actually gone to an event that was a paid weekend at a hotel and everything, and that they received, if not more, from ours. So the same, if not more. So I don't want to sound too high and lofty. I was blown away when they said that, but it just tells you that when God's leading something, he can really minister to hearts. So praise the Lord. Can we have the children come on up? Praise the Lord. Hello. You pound? Pound. Oh, high five. Okay, now high five. High five? Oh, yeah, there we go. Praise the Lord. Oh, you guys look great today. Are you guys ready for a great day? To be taught and to learn how much Jesus loves you. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Yeah. You do? Can you tell me? Because I'm still trying to figure it out. He loves us a lot, doesn't he? I don't think we can measure it. I don't think we can comprehend it or think even enough to really realize how much he loves us. But Lord, I pray today that somehow you would impart into these hearts, Lord, how much you love them. Lord, that no matter what is going on in their life, or what difficulties, or what great things are going on, Lord, that you love them. You love them with an everlasting, eternal love, Lord, that they can receive that today, Lord, and be raised up higher in you today. And we just bless your kids. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So is anything else going on? Yeah? Anything else that needs to be announced? Oh, tonight. Yes, I forgot last week. Tonight at 6 p.m. over in the Impact Room, we will be having Tapping In. And it's been really an incredible time. Last week, we went over one scripture. And we went over an hour and 20 minutes of sharing, discussing. It's not just me teaching and blasting stuff at you. It's our hearts opening up to what the Word says and how we can truly apply that in our lives. So if you want to tap in, come join us tonight at 6 o'clock. And with that said, Pastor Dan, would you please come up? Hey, Pastor Dan.
So, come on up, Pastor Dan. We're going to pray for you. Pastor Gay's had something on her heart, and so she really feels that to have the men of the house come up, and the men of the house, or women of the house too, or men, men of the house come up and pray for you, and just bless you, and just let God's grace rest upon you. So I know that that you've got something powerful for us today, and not just for us, though, for you. I know that you receive when you give. So, men, would you come on up? We're going to pray for Pastor Dan. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
I get a real sense that there is a new anointing that is falling on you today, that there is a new... it's almost like there's a breaking of off of old and a seeming in of new, if that makes any sense to you. Mm-hmm. But I sense that for you today, as I've been praying for you for 3 or 4 days. So I just want you to just receive that from the Holy Spirit as these men lay their hands on you and just pray over you, that new mantle, that fresh anointing that your heart has been so longing for. The answer has come today from God, who loves you so much, from the Father, the Abba, the Daddy, that is not been far or insensitive to your heart and to your need. So, Father, we just pray for Pastor Dan right now.
Yes, we do.
The whole church would just put your hands out toward Pastor Dan. Father, we just pray that anointing over Pastor Dan right now, Father.
Yes.
Not only the anointing, but the receiving of that anointing, God. The receiving of that anointing, let it just flow into him right now. Let his spirit agree, God, with your spirit.
Yes. Father, we thank you for your man that's here today, God. But not just your man, Lord, your son. Your son, the son that you love, Lord. And we just thank you, God, that you are working in his life, Lord, as a good father. That you are bringing restoration. Lord, you're bringing revelation. Lord, you're bringing a whole new insight and way of receiving even what you have for him, God. And as that word came today, Lord, we release him, God, into this newness. Lord, we release him into the calling and the purposes, the plans and the destiny that you have for his life. And we love our brother, Lord. We love our brother, God, but we know you love him more. So we pray blessing upon him. And Lord, as he releases this word today, God, let it not only be blessing to us, be fresh manna to us and life to us, Lord. Let it just fill his heart, God. As he releases this revelation, God, let it fill his heart, God, with security, God, with strong foundation, Lord. And with seed, God, that will mature and grow into to good fruit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oops. Sorry, brother. Are you using this or using that?
Well, it's good to be back in here. And I trust that whatever I say today will minister to you, and certainly God has been speaking to me about lots of things, and I'm going to talk about a subject that is not popular in churches today because we don't like to hear things like this, but you know, the tools of suffering. Nobody likes to suffer. How many like to suffer? Just raise your hand real quick. Judy, you like to suffer? No? You don't. Okay. But suffering is a part of the Christian experience, and it's, you know, there's an old song, "You Never Promised Me a Rose Garden," and that's a long time ago, so if you don't remember that song, don't worry about it, but it was a song a long time ago. But as many of you know, I've gone through some stuff that you wish no one would have to go through. And the loss of my bride about 9.5 months ago. And I think for those 9.5 months, I have questioned why those things happen, why God allows things to happen, and what is the purpose and all of those things. And I can honestly tell you, I do not know the purpose at this moment in my life, why God has allowed those things to happen. But I know God is a loving God, and he has a purpose for all things. And if you go to the book of, in fact, go ahead and go there now, Psalms 139 and verse 17. It talks about how we were formed together in our mother's womb. That God actually saw our substance being knit together. And that he planned out all of our days as before there was a day that I took my first breath. And so God knew that I would be born. And maybe a couple of facts that you might not know about me is I was actually supposed to be aborted. There were some complications in my mother's birthing of me, and or pregnancy, I guess, of me. And so the doctors back in 1962 recommended that, or 1961, I guess it would be, you know, you should abort this child. It would be better for you, for the child, blah, blah, blah. Well, that was not the case. God decided that Dan Rogers should be born. And so here I am. At the age of five, I was supposed to be, by the age of five, I was supposed to be completely blind. And God decided to heal my eyes, and he gave me a Jacob's limp, I guess, as it were. My right eye isn't as strong as my left eye, but I thank God that I can see you. Thank the Lord for that. At 17, my wife and I, who was then my girlfriend, became pregnant out of wedlock. Shock, shock. And we got married, and they said it would last 3 years. And nearly 36 years later, we were still married until God called her home. So there's a lot of things that go on between the time a person is born and the time they die, and a lot of those things are suffering. And we tend to think of God's blessings as non-suffering, and we tend to think of God as blessing us when we're not having anything go wrong in our lives. And that's really not true. God used the suffering to take us from point A to point B. Otherwise, we would not move, right? We would always camp where we're being blessed the most. We would always stay there. In fact, when the church was born, the Great Commission was to go into all the world. You know, Judea, Samaria, you know, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so what was happening was, they were all kind of having a good time. 3,000 people were being added to the church on one Sunday, and then a few Sundays later, there was another 5,000. I asked them, man, the church has really grown. It's 8,000 people. You know, we're looking for our first new building and multiple campuses. We're looking for all the things to happen, but that was not the plan of God. The plan of God was to take the gospel out. You can't take the gospel out if you're not doing what God said to do. So what did God use to get them to move? He used suffering. He used persecution. He used all those things to get them to go where he wanted them to go. So persecution and suffering isn't God's worst for my life. Sometimes it's God's best for my life. We don't see it because we have a temporal perspective. We have a perspective of right now. You know, there's a gospel being preached today that, you know, unless I have, you know, so much money in the bank and wear the finest clothes and, oh, and I'm going to sit down right here. Praise the Lord. Look at that. Now, that was embarrassing. Was that not embarrassing? He's just going to sit down right now. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to move the box. That was really embarrassing, right? But we're not videotaping this, so it doesn't really matter. So everybody that listens to the tape, they'll say, oh my God, that's great. But anyway, God uses those things to take us along. So if you have your Bibles, go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to go there for a little bit, and we'll just see what the Lord does, okay? And I have to say that the Lord is using what I'm going through personally to get me where I need to be. I believe there is something that God has for me to do, and you kind of insert yourself in whatever you're going through. I believe there is something God has for me to do that Brenda could not go with me to do that. I believe there's something that I am to do in this life, the remainder of my life, that my bride, my wife, was not able to go with me. And so for whatever reason, I don't know. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I want you to look at verse 7. For we have this treasure. What treasure do we have? We have the treasure of Christ, the glory of God, in these temporal vessels, these weak vessels, these vessels that make so many mistakes and do so many silly things at times, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. How many know that there is no good thing that is inside of us? Right? I mean, how many has ever done something really good and you're just really proud about it and you just kind of shout from the mountaintop, "Look how good I am"? I mean, anybody's ever done that? No, right. Because have you ever had somebody say how great you were? And they truly mean you're a great person, you're an amazing person, blah, 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 blah. And then you realize that they really don't know who you are. They don't know your thought process. They don't know what you said the night before. They don't know what you thought just a few moments ago. And yet they see something in you that we have a hard time seeing in ourselves. They see the glory of God. They see the image of Jesus Christ radiating from our hearts, radiating from our lives. We are so close to ourselves, we see all the things that are wrong with us that we tend not to see what God is doing in us. And so sometimes God has to bring people along in our lives to kind of give us a shove. And Gideon is a good example. Gideon was the youngest of the tribe. His tribe was the least of all the least in all of Israel. And they were under siege. There was an army that kept coming and stealing all their stuff. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord came and said, "Hail, mighty man of God." And I can just see Gideon kind of looking around like, "Who, me? You're not talking to me, right? You're not saying me." And the angel said, "Yes, I'm talking to Gideon. I'm talking to this man." Gideon did not see. In fact, Gideon had to fleece God two times after God answered one prayer of a fleece either being wet or dry and the ground being wet or dry, whatever it was. You know, he said, "Okay, God, that was a great trick, but now let's really get this right. If it's going to be you, then I want this to be the opposite of what I already prayed." And so God did the same thing. And yet what God does is he doesn't use what I have. He uses me with what he has. He always takes me as a vessel, but it's always him doing the work. I'm just available for God to use me at any given moment if I'm availing myself to him. And sometimes that means some suffering in my life. Sometimes that means some sorrow and heartache in my life. Am I willing to allow, in this case, the death of my wife to be something that I'm going to get stuck in? Or is it going to be something I'm going to allow the Lord to use as a tool? Because there's people down the road that's going to go through the very same thing that I've gone through. And I want to be able to minister to them and tell them it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. I know it's tough right now. I know that you loved your bride. And I know that you loved her with all your heart. And I know it's really difficult. And you can't see it now, but I can guarantee you it's going to be okay. Down the road, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but it's going to be okay, right? For God says in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of power will be of God and not of ourselves. For we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. How many of you ever had those things go on in your life? You ever been perplexed? You ever been knocked down? But you're not destroyed. You get back up. The Bible says the righteous are knocked down 7 times, but they get up every time. You know, the pressures of life itself, just the life that we live, this world that we live in is an imperfect world. And when people say to me, if there's really a loving God, why does he allow, and they go on A, B, C, you know, war and famine and the death of a child, or my wife died, or my husband died, my child got, you know, killed. Why does he allow those things if he's truly a loving God? The question shouldn't be that. The question is, how is it possible that I have survived all of the things that I've gone through? Because it's not you. It's him. Because there's a purpose in everything that we go through. Everything that we are going through, even if it seems random, it is not meaningless. There is a meaning behind it. There's something God is doing in my life. There is something God that's working. God is working something out of my heart. God is working something out of my life so that I'm completely dependent on him. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, persecuted, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulation. Anybody that tells you once you give your life to Christ, everything is going to be okay, you'll never suffer again, you'll always have a fat bank account, you'll always drive the nicest car, sometimes you're on the brink of bankruptcy, but God is still there. Sometimes you're on the brink of a marriage about ready to fall apart, but God is still there. Sometimes you don't understand why your child was not able to be born what we would call normal, but God is still there. Sometimes we don't understand why we have miscarriages, but God is still there. God is working things out in our lives because he has a purpose and a plan for us. Can I tell you, we are not in heaven yet. As much as we want heaven to come down and invade the earth, as much as we want the kingdom of God to come and make everything right, it is not A, the millennial kingdom yet. B, it is not heaven on earth yet. We're not home yet. We're still in a fallen world, a fallen state. We still have a nature that we deal with on a daily basis. We can get the victory in church and on Monday, or go out to our cars after church on Sunday, and all of a sudden that nature rises back up. And those things come back up in our life, and we say the very question, God, where are you at? Why am I going through this? Why did you choose me to go through this? Remember, you're pressed, but not crushed. You are persecuted, but not forsaken. You are cast down, but not destroyed. That's the thing the Christian has to believe, that God is doing all these things. In fact, Romans 8:28 says, God works all things out. Not just the good things, but all things. What we deem as good things can sometimes turn out to be not so good things. Right? And what we deem to be horrible, rotten things can bring about the best thing in our lives that we could ever think possible. That had we not gone through that, we would not be where we are today. I don't know what my life holds for tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to look like in 6 months, 6 years, 10 years. I don't give my chance a chance to think that far down the road. I just get day by day. I just try to get through that day. Moment by moment, I just try to get through that moment. But I know eventually I'll be down the road. And I'll look back and I'll say, that's why God took her at 54. That's why God did what he did and allowed stage 4 breast cancer, and prayed like I did, and she prayed, and the church prayed, and we literally had people praying all over the world that God was going to raise her up, and God chose not to do that. I don't understand why God has done that, But I know eventually I'm going to understand. Eventually there's going to be produced from the suffering, from the things that I'm going through and the things that you're going through that you don't want to go through. No one chooses to lose their bride at 54. I was content. I was in love. I loved her with all of my heart. I'd still be married to her. I'd do it all over again. I was planning on being married till I was 96, 99, 102. I don't care. I wanted to be married. I loved my wife, and I still love my wife. I'm in love with my wife. But for some reason, God has chosen she cannot be with me on this part of my journey. I don't understand it. I'm crushed, or I'm pressed, but I'm not crushed. I'm cast down, but I am not forsaken. God has an eternal purpose that he is working out in my life. Verse 10 said, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. What does that even mean? Always carrying about the dying of the Lord Jesus. How did he die? He was crucified, right? His flesh was nailed to a cross so that the life of Christ can be manifest in me too. You can't be alive and him alive at the same time. It doesn't work. You cannot be in control and him in control. Either he's going to be in control or you're going to be in control. Either he's going to be in charge or you're going to be in charge. How many's ever been in charge? Let me see your hands just real quick. This is a hand shower. How does that work out for you? Right? Do you ever think that you got the best answers and that you're the only one that can do it? Yeah. Pray for me on that one because that's not working out real good for me. So death works in you, but life in us. Verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Verse 16, therefore, because of all these things, we do not lose heart. I think the greatest challenge for the believer, the greatest challenge for me has been not to lose heart. The greatest challenge is always when I'm going through things, A, to blame myself, B, to blame God, C, to blame others, or E, it doesn't matter who I blame, I just want the pain to go away and it's somebody's fault. It's the doctor's fault. They should have caught it in time. It's Brenda's fault. She should have had her mammogram at the time that she should have had a mammogram done. It's my fault. I didn't get her on the insurance in time. That's why she waited. It's that person's fault. It's nobody's fault. God has a plan. God uses my circumstances to do what God is going to do in the time that he's going to do it. If we truly believe that God is in control of our life, God sees all things. The Bible says God makes known the end from the beginning, and yet he still chose to have me be born. Think about that. All the things that you ever go through, ever will go through, if you've never gone through a problem, can just write this one down. I guarantee a problem is coming your way. I wanted to hear that. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. I don't like this church anymore. They preach on problems. They preach on suffering. I don't like suffering. I don't like that at all. But you know what? You better get used to it. You're not home yet. This is not heaven. No matter how great the day is and how great your life is right now, it is not heaven. Something will come your way and it will rock your world. And you better be facing the right way, because if you're not, it will really rock your world. I remember when Brenda was at Cottage. Obviously, I work for hospice, and I know what hospice is. It's a diagnosis of 6 months or less to live. I've stood at hundreds, literally hundreds of bedsides of people taking their last breath. I've watched husbands cry. I've watched daughters cry. I've watched wives cry. I've watched it all. And you comfort them, and you hug them, and you tell them it's going to be okay because you have nothing else to say to them. And you walk out of that room, you go to your computer, and you chart what you did. You shut your computer, you put it in your bag, you get in your car, and you drive to the next appointment. But there's still a family that you just left who is still dealing with the aftermath of watching their loved one take their last breath. I don't care how ready you think you are for them to draw the last breath. You are not ready. You're just not. It's not possible to be ready because everything inside of us says they're going to live, they're going to be okay, it's going to be right. Somehow God's going to swoop in and raise them up, and God's going to get all this amazing glory. God, look what you did. I believe that God was going to heal Brenda all the way up until the time she died. I truly believe that God was going to raise her up. I remember that Saturday afternoon, probably 3 hours before she died, you know how you fight back tears and you don't want to cry, so you like kind of buck up and you talk about everything else under the sun. But you know what? Eventually you can't talk about anything else because you know something's about to happen. You can sense it. You can feel it. Pastors were there. We ask everybody else to leave the room except family, knowing that God was about to take her home. And I remember a few hours before she died that I literally collapsed in the spa, the sauna room, the spa room, and just heaves of tears and crying came out of me, and it was like, God, you have to help. I can't do this. I don't understand why you're allowing this. People came in, kids came in, comforted dad, blah, blah, blah. I was okay, got up. You know how you kind of straighten your shoulders up? Because you're okay. You're not okay. But you want everybody else to think you're okay. Because that's what you're supposed to do. I remember just a few moments before she died, probably an hour before she died, I was standing at her bedside in the room. Her room was completely full of people. I couldn't tell you who was there. And again, I collapsed in front of her bedside. Said the same thing again. I have no regrets. I love my wife, blah, blah, blah. And then they came in and they pulled my son out and they said, you know, usually what they do is they will turn the oxygen down because they're watching the stats. They're watching the heartbeat go up. They're watching the oxygen levels go down. Even though they had her on the max amount of oxygen she could ever be on, there was no more oxygen that they could pump into her. And so they pulled him out and they said, usually what we would do is because we're watching the monitors, we know what's going on, your mom's dying, we would just go in and turn it down and not say anything so that, you know, death could take its natural course. But because it's your dad, because we know him and we work with him and he comes in here every day, would you ask him? And so Nicholas came around and told me what they had said and said, Dad, we need to turn the oxygen down. Her body's fighting, blah, blah, blah. What do you want to do? And I said, I guess, you know, we can turn it down. So we turned it down. And eventually her stats started dropping more and more and more. And my daughter said, Dad, can we have everybody leave the room? So everybody left the room. And, you know, and even though I've been around hundreds, literally hundreds of people dying, it's not the same as your bride. dying. And so one of the things that I've lived with for those 9.5 months was, well, that my fault that I turned it down? Was it my fault that she took her last breath? How do you know the enemy likes to beat you up with things? See, it's your fault. It's really not the doctor's fault. It's your fault. You're the one that did that. But God has a purpose. God has a reason he does what he does. And this is what I want to get to real quickly. For all things, verse 15, are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound in the glory of God, to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. Now, read that just a second with me. For momentary or temporal light affliction. The death of my wife was a light affliction? Come on, are you kidding me? The loss of my job that I had staked all my life into is a light affliction. The death of my child, the death of this person, those are light afflictions. They are temporal afflictions. And they're not worthy to be compared to the glory that is awaiting us. The reason we don't see it that way is because we see the natural, we see the temporal, we see what we've lost, not what we've gained. We see all the heartache and we see all the suffering, we see all the things that are going on in our lives, and we think, God, how in the world could you allow her at 54 to die? But I guarantee you, it is a momentary light affliction. Because when I see her again in eternity, I will not remember that, or if I did, it will be a faded memory, and I will thank God that I'm here right now with you. But right now, I have to go through something. There's something God is producing in me. And I believe this, that it's not just an eternal weight of glory that is awaiting me there, but I believe God is doing a glorious work inside of me right now. And if I'm not careful, I miss what God is doing because I'm so caught up in my grief and my sorrow. Do I still have days where I cry and I call people, will you pray with me? And they cry with me and they laugh with me and they encourage me. They do all those things. But when I hang up the phone, it's still just me. And I can get stuck really easy. Unless I remember that this light affliction is producing in me a peculiar or an eternal weight of glory. Listen to this. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, the death of my wife, I can tell you the moment she passed away. I can take you to the room where she was, room 102 at Cottage in the Meadows. I can tell you where I stood at the bed or kneeled at the bed. I can tell you my family who was around the bed. I can tell you the very moment that she took her last breath. But these things are temporal and they are not eternal. They are a momentary light affliction. They are a momentary. It's just for a moment. If I live another 50 years, it's just for a moment. Because you cannot compare this life with eternity. You cannot compare what you've gone through. The worst thing you can think of that you've gone through is a temporary, momentary, light affliction. It may not seem light, it may not seem temporary, it may seem like it's never going to end, but I guarantee you one day you will wake up and the fog will have lifted. And the love that you had, that I have for my bride right now, will never, ever, ever go away. But my heart can make room for somebody else. Or my heart can make room for ministry. Or my heart can make room for my family again. My kids had a powwow with me the other day, about a month ago. And they said, Dad, you're not thinking straight. You're not making right choices. I thought I was making great choices. What do you mean I shouldn't give my cars away? What are you talking about? What do you mean I shouldn't just sign my house over to that person? That's not a good decision, Dad. That's not a good decision. Don't make those decisions. I'm teasing. I didn't give my cars away. And I didn't give my house away. Not yet, anyway. But grief does things to you. Sorrow does things. And if you don't keep it in proper perspective, it is a momentary light affliction. You will make decisions based on temporal things and what you can see rather than what you cannot see. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that we are to, therefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Chapter 11 talks about the faith chapter. It talks about, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and we talked about that before, and they were heroes of the faith, Moses and all those guys. But then it goes on toward the end of the chapter, there are those who are sawed in half. There are those who are ran through with a spear. There are those who had to wander in caves whom the world was not worthy of. So God doesn't always deliver you the way you think he should deliver you. He doesn't always answer the prayer the way you think he should answer the prayer. Thank God. Aren't you glad that God doesn't answer the prayer the way you prayed it? Because God knows your heart. He knows exactly what you need, and that all the things are working together for a greater glory in your life, and that if all you have are good things or what you interpret as good things in your life, you'll never move where God wants you to move. You'll never do what God wants you to do. So God uses pressure to move you. God uses circumstances to get you off dead center. God uses the death of people. God uses the loss of jobs. He uses all these things to do an eternal weight and work of glory in your life. I don't think Paul really wanted his head taken off. Do you? I can't imagine, yay, my head's coming off today. Right? I can't imagine Peter wanted to be crucified upside down, although he didn't think himself worthy to be crucified like Christ was crucified. I don't think Isaiah really wanted to be sawed in half. I don't think Stephen wanted to be stoned to death. But all those things happen, and God calls them great men and women of faith in Scripture. I'd rather be called great by him than great by you. I'd rather be called amazing child of God by my Father than by anybody else in the world. Because you can say you're an amazing person, but you know you. You get up with you. You sleep with you. You think like you, right? But God sees the real you. He sees what he is forming in you. And he knows he cannot do anything without pressure. Do you know how they refine gold? Through the crucible. They pour the gold in, liquid gold or whatever, and they turn up the fire. And everything that is not supposed to be in the gold comes to the surface, and they take and they skim it off. And then they turn the heat back up. And everything that's not supposed to be there, all the impurities come back up to the surface and they skim it off. And they continue that process till nothing else comes back up. And then they can stamp it 99.999% pure. God is turning up the heat, not because he hates you, but because he loves you. Because there's some impurities in your life that cannot go with you where you're going. There's some things in you that God is trying to move out of you. Was Brenda an impurity in my life? Absolutely not. But where I'm going, she couldn't go. Her race was finished. She was done. And therefore, I have to go this alone because God is my Father. I can tell you without a doubt that I depended on Brenda. I mean, I depended on my wife. She was my bride. She was my wife. If I wanted someone to pray, Brenda, pray for me. To the point where I almost replaced God with Brenda. Because Brenda could touch God. I'm not saying God removed her because of that. But I believe that God removed her because her purpose was done. She completed her course. And now it's time for me to finish mine. So God used the suffering to get me where I need to go. And I will guarantee you, joy and things all going right in your life will not take you where you need to go. It's only when you're uncomfortable that you move. It's only when you're not where you're doing the things that you think you should be doing that you start moving. When do you turn your cars in? When they stop working. And you don't have the money to fix them, and you like kicking tires. So you turn it in, you get another car to take you further down the road. And sometimes God uses the brokenness of our lives in order to get us out of that vehicle, so to speak, and into one that he's already developed and already gotten ready for you so that you can go further down the road. That's how God works. This temporary light affliction. Remember, it's temporary. It's not permanent. It seems permanent. It seems like, my God, it's never going to end. I still cry at night. I still hug my pillow and bury my face in it so my mother-in-law doesn't hear me crying. And saying, God, what is going on? You've got to stop this. I can't do this anymore. And yet I still get up in the morning, and I still get dressed for work, and I still minister to people whose loved ones are dying, and I'm watching them take their last breath. And God says, I am still God, and I am still using you. So public disclosure, if I have hurt you in any way, if I've done anything because of my momentary light affliction and I've caused you pain, please forgive me. That is not my heart. That is not. But God has a purpose in my life. God has an amazing purpose for Danny Rogers. And I'll look back at the end of my life and say, oh, that's why. Okay, I'm okay with that. Can we play that now? I want you to listen, watch this video, and then we'll have an altar call. I love giving altar calls, so we'll give an altar call. Okay.
Suffering, and though you my heart and flesh may fail. The earth below give way, but with my eyes, I'll see the Lord. Lifted high upon that day, behold the Lamb that was slain, and I'll know that every tear was worth it all.
Not only is all your affliction momentary, not only is all your affliction light in comparison to eternity and the glory there, but all of it is totally meaningful. Every millisecond of your pain from the fallen nature or fallen man, every millisecond of your misery in the path of obedience is producing a peculiar glory you will get because of that. I don't care if it was cancer or criticism. I don't care if it was slander or sickness. It wasn't meaningless. It's doing something. It's not meaningless. Of course you can't see what it's doing. Don't look to what is seen. When your mom dies, when your kid dies, when you got cancer at 40, when a car careens into the sidewalk and takes her out, don't say, it's meaningless. It's not. It's working for you an eternal weight of glory. Therefore, do not lose heart, but take these truths and day by day, focus on them. Preach them to yourself every morning. Get alone with God and preach His word into your mind until your heart sings with confidence that you are new and cared for.
Though you slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship, sing a song to the one who's all I need. I'll sing a song to the one who's all I need.
Bow our heads. Father, thank you for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do. We thank you, Father, for all things. You said, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Father, we're not just to thank you in the good things, but Lord, in the things that are not so good. We're not just to thank you in things that we think we understand, but things that we know we do not understand. And Father, I thank you today for the death of my wife. I thank you, Lord, that you called her home to be by your side. I thank you, Father, that you still have a purpose for my life. And I thank you today, Father, that you have a purpose for every person in this room. Whatever they're going through, God, whatever their suffering is, God is working an eternal weight of glory as they walk in obedience to Christ. I do not know what everyone is going through, nor do I want to know or need to know, but Lord, you do, and they do. I pray, Father, for a sweet spirit of calmness to come upon them, confidence to be with them. That, Lord, you would raise up in them, Father, just an eternal perspective. And God, as they grieve or as they go through these things, that, Father, that they would not stop or lose heart, but that, God, that they would find purpose in their suffering. Lord, I'm so thankful today for everyone that you've brought into my life. Everyone, God, that you have spoken through to me. Everyone that's prayed, everyone that's encouraged, everyone that's texted, everyone that has done all the things that they have done to encourage me. And I thank you for that. But most of all, I thank you for your Spirit. God, you are using people to bless your people. God, continue to move me down this path. Continue to move these, your children, down the path to that place that they need to be, Father. That, God, that they might become all that you want them to become. For this we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen, amen. And amen. If you feel like you want prayer, please come. I want to pray for you. If you're going through something or you're coming out of something, if you respond, awesome. If you don't, this message was just for me. And you just got to hear what the Lord is speaking to me. So, okay, anybody want prayer? Okay. Anybody else want a prayer? Can we play, Glenn? Can you play something? Yes.
I just want to remind everyone that revelation is important, but impartation is also important. And everything this man has gone through, everything God has taken him through, and the journey that he's on, I feel if you're on a similar journey or you feel that way, this man is being trained to help, and he's being trained to impart into others the same journey. So don't hesitate to receive what God has for Dan and what God wants to release through Dan right now.
Anyone else? Okay. And it doesn't have to be a death either. It could be anything. Loss of a job, blah, blah, blah. Mike, and you guys, James, can you come up and pray today? I like to lay hands on people. Can I do that? Thank you. Father, I pray, God,